Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Got my delivery, ready to eat my pizza. Slice to the rescue, Brody.
Yeah, well, Slice hooked me up last night, too. I placed an order, customized everything, and I got food for myself and my wife last night, and I was the hero. Thank you, Slice.
$5 off your first order right now if you use keyword Brooklyn. Download it at Slice or go to slicelife.com.
Guess who just got back today? Them Brooklyn boys that had been away. They both have so much to say. You know their names are Brody
Skiri and Brody. The boys are back in town. You son of a bitch.
Boys are back in town. Brooklyn.
Episode 181. It's the Brooklyn Boys podcast, back from about a 2 or 3 week vacation, or maybe an hour or a day vacation, depending on when the last episode was that you experienced of this fine podcast.
You know what I love about that that parody we just played? Never mind the fact that I wrote it, but it means two things. It means we just had some great time off, and it means we're back. We get to do the podcast again.
Yeah.
So for all those people who are like, I need your episode, come back. We're back.
Yeah, here we are. You know, and we're no less refreshed than we were before vacation, where we promised ourselves we were going to get some rest and relaxation. But for some reason, my vacations are always on the go. And you always seem to get into customer service fights on your vacations, which I'm sure there's quite a few racking up.
I had some issues.
If I'm a betting man, I'm going to bet that you had no less than three customer service squabbles during our break.
No less than three would be safe. If you said no more than three, you'd be incorrect.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, no, I had a couple of bumps in a row. You know what's funny? I was relaxed. You know, I was like chilling and I was in a good mood. And, you know, if, for instance, in one particular case, I just wanted to celebrate our fabulous nation.
Right.
And it bit me in the ass.
Well, how so?
I'd start off now talking about, you want me to just go right into it?
I want to hear what's going on.
All right. All right. Okay.
What happened to you? You and America and freedom.
Freedom. Yeah.
Nothing screams freedom. So it had to be something around the 4th of July.
4th of July, right. So a Monday in early second week of June, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I think we were still working. I drove my daughter somewhere about 40 minutes from the house at a friend's house. And there's a Walmart nearby. I don't live near Walmart. I'm 35 to 40 minutes away from a Walmart.
Yeah.
But I like Walmart, don't get me wrong. So I popped into Walmart to get some pool floats. My kid was having a pool party, so I got, you know, a whole bunch of cheap floats for the kids coming over. Right? Because first of all, I don't want them on my floats. And second of all, I didn't have enough for like, you know, 10, 12 kids. So I got some noodles. Mm-hmm. I got some like $2 floats, some tubes for them to, you know, whatever. Yeah. And while I was in the pool section, I was near the fireworks section. So I looked over and I'm like, oh, you know what? My wife normally gets a prepackaged box of assorted fireworks at Costco, but she hasn't mentioned it. So I'm going to, it was like $30 for a 3.5 foot box where you could, now it had like a display window. You could see what was in it, like giant round things, some boxes, and it was $30. I don't remember what my wife paid for the big set we blew off for New Year's Eve. But I'm like, you know what? I'm already here. It's probably a good price, $30.
I would say more than so.
That. So I got the $30 and I'm like, oh, I'm going to show off for the kids. This would be great. I'm familiar with the boxes and they're very safe. You light the fuse and they're just like, you know, like the lights go off and like sparklers and no big explosives. M80s, no
stuff
blowing
low to the ground and things that light up, but nothing that explodes.
And don't tweet me if your uncle's best friend lost an eyelash. Uh-huh. Please. I'm telling you, these are relatively safe. Okay. Mm. They're relatively safe. So I buy them for $30. And I go home with the pool floats and I'm all excited. And I get home and my wife says, you bought fireworks because they were in the living room. Yeah. She says, so did I at Costco. What? Yeah, I was at Costco today. I bought fireworks. We didn't mention it. Well, I didn't think you were going to pick up fireworks at Walmart.
So now you have double the fun. Double the double the lights.
Not double the fun. 1.5 times the fun because for $50, I think, she got a massive box of fireworks, the bigger box. Now, I didn't remember the size of the box from January. You know, it looked like a big box. So her big box was bigger than my box. Make your own jokes.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, hers is a better deal for 50, whatever, 45, whatever she paid. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go back to Walmart the next time. You know, it's not the 4th of July. We're on vacation coming up this week, and I'll go on one of my vacation days, or if my kid has to go see a friend again. So as fate would have it, that exactly a week later, on a Monday, I have to go out to that area where there's a Walmart. So I drive the 40 minutes, drop her off, and I go into the Walmart, and there's a line. It's about a 20-minute line at the customer service desk. But I'm like, I'm on vacation, whatever. So I get on the line with my fireworks. I have the receipt because I'm a good customer.
See,
I get to the
this is where you
register.
And me did differ, by the way, before you get...
You'd eat the $30?
Yeah, I would be like, you know what? I'm going to celebrate it another night. I will literally like blow off fireworks a couple of nights a week. You know, But okay, you were at the register. You're returning the shit.
Let me fill you in on a couple of things. So this was, I want to say, like the 22nd of June, maybe. Let me look. It's important I tell you the date. So let me go on my calendar to the June. Yeah, it was the 21st of June. Now, you know we get paid on the 15th and the 30th, roughly, right?
Yeah.
So on the 21st, I bought them on the 14th, right before we got paid on the 15th. And I wanted to return them on the 21st, I believe. And we were 6 days out of being paid. And I got to be honest with you, we're out of money. So the $30, I kind of needed it.
Okay.
Right? Like we were like on fumes in the checking account.
Okay. So you figured.
Whatever the case, whatever we spent the money on.
All right.
We had a lot of bills over the summer, getting ready for the summer. And so I needed the $30 back. And I didn't need the fireworks because my wife bought a massive box.
So when you get to the register with the receipt.
Yeah. The girl says, so I was returning one pool float that my daughter didn't like. It was like a $297 and the fireworks. So she says, you have your receipt? Yep. And she returns the pool float and says, yeah, we can't take back the fireworks. What? She says, yeah, we don't take back fireworks.
Huh?
What do you mean you don't take back fireworks?
It's not like you set them off. I mean, clearly you would know if a box of fireworks was used.
Right. I said, at this point, we're 12 days away from the 4th of July. Plenty of time to resell them, right? Yeah, we don't take them back. It's just our policy. So I said, where's the policy? There's no policy here at the register. this policy, this signs all over the wall what your return policy is. Oh, it doesn't say you can't return fireworks.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. So then the manager walks over. She said she was the manager. My guess is she was the front-end supervisor, which was, I'm the manager. What, can I help you? I said, yeah, I just want to return these fireworks. I have a receipt. I bought them a week ago. So she says, yeah, we have signs up, but they're not returnable. I said, well, here's something you should know about me. If there's a sign that says I can't return something, I won't buy it because I don't like to be trapped into a sale. So there was no signs. Well, they're up now.
Well, oh, that's no, wait, but not at the time when you bought the fireworks.
Right, right, right. Mm. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to walk to the back of the store, and I'm going to check out the fireworks display, and I'll see if there's a sign. I'll know if that sign was up last time I was here. He goes, okay, sir, go ahead. So I walk in the back, and there's a giant wall, like one whole aisle of fireworks at the end so you can take pictures of it. Then there's like a floor display and another floor display. There were four displays of fireworks, an end cap, a whole wall. I took pictures, and there's no sign. So I go back to the register. I said, and I'm being very nice. I'm not, you know, I'm not just causing a scene. Well, I would never. I said, hey, you know, listen, you know, I understand you think there were signs, but there's no signs. Well, I don't know. There were signs up. Oh, so there were no signs when I was here. There's no signs now, but there were signs in between last Monday and this Monday that somehow showed there was, but then someone took all the signs down. I don't know. Aren't you the manager? Yeah. Don't you know your signage in your store? Mm. I don't know, sir, but that's our policy. Well, how can you have a policy? You don't advertise it. Show me where. Show me where. It's the policy. It's our policy, sir. So I go on the website and it says, I pull up fireworks on the website and it says you have 90 days to return the fireworks. I said, look, here's your policy, 90 days. She says, well, I'll go talk to the store manager then if there's a problem. I said, yeah, that'd be great.
I don't understand why these they work for a corporation, right?
Yeah.
So they see the rules. Why don't they just acknowledge it? It's none of these people there today helping you are going to lose money personally.
Right.
It's not like that's Walmart correct. Is owned right. by an individual that right. says, oh, so clearly, no, it's my so store clearly, and I'm going to lose right. money.
So clearly the big boss of the store, the GM, must have said, here's the policy. My guess is, if I had to guess, is they don't want them back because then they get stuck with them on the 5th of July and they have inventory.
Yeah, but
that's not my
that
problem.
that was my next point, is that
okay.
July, so what's the date?
July 22nd.
June 22nd. So it's
they have 12 days.
Yeah.
But they had like 1,000 packages of fireworks. Oh, anyway, man. So she knocks on the door. I can see the door. It's like 10 feet to my left. She knocks on the door. She whispers to the manager, who I can see in the chair. And he goes, meh, and he waves like, yeah, get away from me. And she comes back. She says, I spoke to him. He says, that's our policy. They said, he didn't speak to you. He said, go away. I saw him. She says, well, I'm sorry. We can't take it back. I said, so now I have to go on social media? And I have to tweet, and I have to call your corporate office because you don't. This isn't with your return policy. Okay, she says, well, I'm sorry, sir. So I go out in the parking lot. I call Walmart, and a guy who says, oh no, that's not our policy. I'll call the store and give them permission to take your stuff back. I said, all right, well, can you do that while I'm on the phone? Because if I hang up with you, I have no idea if you called or not. Yeah, no problem. Let me put you on hold. I'll call the store. He comes back and he says, I can't get the manager on the phone. What? They're not answering the phone. Well, okay, but what do I do?
God.
Well, you could try going to a different Walmart. Oh. I go, I'm not near another Walmart. I'm 40 minutes from this Walmart. Well, there's nothing I can do, but that's not our policy. They should take it back.
Oh, my God. So you're being running around in circles.
Right. So he says, hold on, let me transfer you to my supervisor. Let's see. Because I said, listen, can you get me a store credit or something, and I'll just keep the fireworks, or I'll leave them at the door. Like, just credit my credit card or send me a gift card, and I'll walk back in and hand them the fireworks. Like, I don't need them. I'm not going to, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, hold on. Let me transfer you to my supervisor. So I hear ring, 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 and all of a sudden the phone line goes dead. What? So I call back, and again, it takes like 10 minutes to get through the voicemail system and on hold, and, you know, your call's important to us, whatever. So I call back, I get a woman from, you know, where in the world, I don't know, and she says, oh, no, that's not our policy. Yeah, no, I know that, yep. She says, oh, I'll call the store for you. Okay, great. Calls the store, and they don't answer the phone. She goes, I'm sorry, they're not answering the phone. Okay. So I give it a store number, the phone number, like, whatever. It's on the receipt. It's like store number, whatever, like 275, whatever the number is. They all have store numbers, right? So she said, let me transfer you. So she gives me the supervisor, and the supervisor says, well, it's not our policy, but it is. Well, what does that mean? She says, it's Walmart's policy to allow the local store manager to make their own policy. What?
That's awful. awful.
I said, that's, you run a company where everything has to be the same color, the same prices, right? The you wear the same aprons. You're not a franchise. So you're letting some 21-year-old manager decide, eh, I don't feel like taking fireworks back? Yeah. Are you for real? That's your policy. Yeah.
The real fireworks are going off right now. I can hear them.
Yeah, I said, that can't be your corporate policy. We've all worked for corporations. Ugh. I've worked for Starbucks. I've worked for Express, The Gap, Old Navy. Dude. Like, you don't get to make your own policy.
I thought you were calm on vacation. You just opened up by saying you had a great vacation and you were calm and relaxed. This does not sound like a calm and relaxing moment.
Well, it got worse. I haven't talked about that. We touched on it on the podcast briefly, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about the follow-up to this. So I tweet at Walmart, and I say, hey, man, your customer service stinks, and your return policy stinks. So, right. So they immediately write me back on social media. We're terribly sorry. Let us know the problem. We're going to help you. Very accommodating. The end of the story is they didn't help me. I stubbed the fireworks. But they got back to me.
You could shove the bottle rockets up your ass.
Well, what they said was that because it's the policy is to let the manager decide, well, I can go to a different Walmart.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Just keep them in your trunk, and then when you go from, when you're near a Walmart, jump in.
Yeah. When I'm in another Walmart where I don't live near Walmarts. But here's the problem. Now it's after the 4th of July. Who's taking back my fireworks? Unless I wait till right before 4th of July next year with my year-old receipt. They're not going to take them back now. They're not going to want fireworks in the middle of July.
All right, so save them for next 4th of July. You're going to be in the same situation, aren't you?
And then when they don't explode and they go, because they're a year old.
Brody, you can't have it all the way, both ways, every way till Sunday, every time. You're not going to get the free dessert.
Here's where the kicker is. So about 40 minutes after I tweeted at Walmart, my phone rings.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's a guy with an accent. That's not important what kind of accent, but he's clearly someone with an accent from another part of the world. And he says, "Hey, I'm going to for the sake of this phone call, I'm going to say his name is Mike." He says, "Hey, this is Mike from Walmart, Advanced Customer Service. We understand you have a problem on social media. Our social media team asked me to give you a call. We want to try to make this right." Now, I didn't give my phone number to the social media people.
Okay.
Right? So I'm like, how's this guy? This something's not right. Something's not right here. So I said, "Uh-huh. Okay, Mike. Who are you again?" He tells me. I said, "Do you need the store number?" "No, we have everything." And I'm like, "They don't have everything because I didn't give the social media people the store number."
This already sounds sus.
Yeah, it sounds sus. You know, I like the way that, by the way, today's 15-minute morning show, all you guys were like, "Sus, it's the new word." Dude, sus is like a year old now because of I'm drawing a blank. The game.
Sus.
Among Us, right? Among Us, whatever that game was. You had to decide which is the bad guy, who was suspect. Anyway, I know you like that word now. So something is sus. So he says, "Tell me what happened." So I'm like, "All right, maybe someone's phone tapping me. I'm going to play along and I'm going to tell the story." So I tell the story and I said, "Yeah, they're, you know, the return policy. I spoke to the supervisor. They're not willing to take the fireworks back." So the guy, now this went on for, I don't know, about 2 minutes of me explaining, because I'm hoping that something funny is going to happen where we can play it on the radio or on the podcast. So he says, "Hold on a second. Let me close my door in my office so I can hear you better. I'm having a hard time hearing you." Now, he wasn't having a hard time hearing me. So right away, I'm thinking, okay, this is a friend of a friend who's at work who does a foreign accent who they've asked to prank phone call me. Someone has sent me
And
up.
They saw your tweets on Twitter complaining to Walmart.
Someone who knows me gave this guy my phone number.
Right.
And said, "Oh, prank call my friend Brody." Right. And it's someone he's like, "Oh, you have an accent." Or maybe it's someone he thought I would recognize the voice. So put on a foreign accent. So I said, "Hey, ma'am. Hey, before we go any further, can you tell me what my case number is? Because I want to make sure we're on the same page." Because they give you a case number, like when you call back, like a 5-digit case number. He goes, "Yeah, I'll get the case number for you in a second. But in the meantime, just do me a favor. Go over with me one more time what the store manager said."
Oh, yeah. Already I'm feeling this is sus.
Right. So I said,
next level sus.
So I said, Mike, I said, hey, Mike, before, yeah, no, no, I really want you to give me the case number because if you don't have my account pulled up, you know, I want to make sure that if you're going to help me that you have my case number. He says, yeah, yeah, I have your case number. It's not a problem, but I'm just taking notes. Tell me again what happened with the store manager. I said, Mike, listen, I'm having a long day here. You're not good at this. I said, you're not good at prank phone calls, whoever you are. So let's just end this. I don't have, you're not good at this.
Yeah, so trying to phone tap you.
So normally when we get busted doing phone taps, right? They go, oh, is this scary? Is this Brody? I recognize your voice. You go, oh man. Okay. Sorry, man. You know,
right. Yeah,
your wife put me, or you try to go, I don't know what you're talking about. You try to keep going, but you know, so instead of being funny, the guy starts cursing me. You motherfucker, you fucking piece of shit. Who the fuck returns fireworks? I would have shoved those fireworks up your fucking ass. He's getting like nasty with me.
That's so that's really convincing as a customer service
right,
person.
Like, that's
please.
Not a good phone prank phone caller. So, I go, dude, you obviously a prank phone call. This is a prank phone call. You're not good at it. Can we just end this? You motherfucker, you piece of shit. You fucking, I'll kill you.
Oh my God.
So I said, look, man, yeah. If this is a prank phone call, you're not good at prank phone calls. And if you're, this is not a prank phone call, you're getting really rude and violent. And I don't have time for this. I'm already having a day. I said, have a good day. Goodbye. So he starts calling me back from my phone number. Right. Like he's using spoof card.
Okay. Now right there, why don't you just ignore it?
I did. Here's the problem. He kept going to voicemail. Well, if you keep going to voicemail, he kept pushing buttons. And so my voicemail thought I was trying to log in with the wrong login, and he locked me out of my voicemail.
Oh, boy.
So I started to think, listeners don't have my number. My number's not listed anywhere. So it has to be someone I know, right?
Was it?
Someone who follows me on Twitter.
Was it?
I don't know. So here's the thing.
This is an unsolved mystery of the podcast?
I called Spruce because he knows a lot of voiceover people.
Right. He's like, hey, are you fucking with me, Spruce?
Right. No. He's like, no. I'm like, dude, he's like, no. So everyone was like, did you ask Garrett? Because Garrett likes to prank people, record them.
Yeah.
So I was like, I haven't called Garrett yet. So I called Garrett. He's like, dude, I'm on vacation. I'm not thinking about you.
Right. And we did talk about this on the 15-Minute Morning Show podcast.
Very briefly.
This part.
Very briefly, right.
Yeah.
And so I called the usual suspects. Now, here's the problem. I accused four people of attempting to prank phone call me. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get into details. I know who it was who made the call.
Oh, you found out.
Well, I'll get to that in a minute. He's someone that actually does a prank phone call podcast. Okay? I reached out to him. And he's like, hey, man, I'll destroy the audio. I didn't know you were in the business. And it didn't come out good anyway because I called him on it. He's like, don't worry. I'll get rid of it if you want. You let me know. I'm like, it's just not funny. Like, it's just, you know. So I said, where'd you get my phone number from? Now, this is all through social media. I'm not talking to the guy on the phone. He said, oh, I got it off of a website.
Which is also bullshit.
A people who complain. I go, no, you didn't because you called me right after my Walmart tweet.
Right.
It was somebody saw my Walmart
somebody
tweet.
Somebody saw the tweet and put you up to it. It's quite obvious. We just don't know who the person was who put him up to it. And he didn't fess up either.
No. Well, I'm working on that with him. So here's the deal. If anyone other than the four people I accused set me up, they would have called me or texted or got in touch with me and said, hey, man, that was me. I tried to get you.
Yeah. So it is one of the four people.
Well, the four people I accused, I told them point blank, wasn't funny. You know I was in a bad mood that week. You know I wasn't in the right frame of mind. Like, it wasn't the right time, right? It wasn't. And all four people were like, dude, we know. We know what you know. You having a bad week, and we would never. We're all on vacation. Like, we would never. But here's the thing. Nobody's come forward to admit they put the guy up to it. And the only person that wouldn't come forward is someone that I already told I didn't find it funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
This is really getting in the weeds, man. So
anyway,
what's the moral of the story
tried
here?
To prank the master, and it didn't work. And also, Walmart didn't give me my money back. So it was all a loser day.
Doubly fucked.
So fuck you, Mike. Fuck you, Walmart. And fuck you, secret person who won't come forward who tried to prank phone call me.
Eventually, the truth will reveal itself.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And
for
any slice listening right now, speculating that it's me, I promise you, It was not.
It's like a murder mystery. Everybody looks guilty. Who and done everyone's
it?
Everyone's denying
who
it.
Who done it? But I will tell you the reason why I didn't do it is because I was too busy having fun on my vacation. Right. I wasn't trying to return fireworks. I went, first of all, you know what a huge Met fan that we both are here on this podcast. I got to see the Mets on the road in Atlanta from great seats, beating Atlanta, coming back, rallying. That was the one game. Let's not talk about the other game. But the one game.
Was it 20-3 or something?
The game that I went to. It was awesome. Yeah, because I, as a Met fan, as a visiting team on the road, it was so awesome to walk out of that stadium in peace and not have people going, Mets.
Okay, but did you cheer loudly? Were you wearing a Mets shirt?
I did.
At the Atlanta Stadium?
No, I wasn't. I didn't want to get my ass beat.
I didn't want to get my ass beat.
But
so you played it down. So what did you do when they scored? Like,
No. When they scored, we were in a section with a bunch of Met fans with shirts and everything going crazy. We'd jump and high-fiving in the stands. But once you leave the game, once the loss is complete, where it is a loss for the Braves, those fans turn sour. They are in a shit mood. So you just walk out and keep your mouth shut and look at the ground. Anyway, but that was only just a piece of my vacation. See, Brody, I was relaxing on a beach. I went to... And I think I've talked about this before on this podcast. It's crazy how history repeats itself. One of the characteristics of my vacations, and it's just an accidental thing that happens, and Brody, you'll remember this right away as soon as I bring it up. What happens to Scary Jones when he checks into a hotel in the summertime in late June while we're on vacation? I always tend to visit a city where they're celebrating Pride Week. So... when I went to St. Petersburg...
Well, wasn't it you and Ronnie? Bald Freak Ronnie together? Two guys?
Yes. It was the Bald Freak Ronnie and me. And, we check into a hotel in St. Petersburg. And then we went...
Same room, right?
We went into the same... Yes. And we went to downtown St. Pete. And there it was in full bloom, Pride. Pride parades... Every bar, nice. Every place we went, no matter what,
okay,
it was all full of pride. Now, no offense to that, but it's just funny how, my friends, my buddies who live down there locally were like, you got to come to this place after dinner. We're going to go to this club. It's awesome. Our friend's spinning, and it's just going to be just a wonderful time. Well, sure enough, they were playing like all 80s and 90s gay icons, and it was really crowded. And it was mostly gay, and my friends all got hit on. I did not get hit on, but it was just hilarious.
Wait, all your friends, did Ball Freak Ronnie get hit on?
Yes, he did.
So everyone but you got hit on.
Yeah.
Now you're straight, but you feel left out?
I kind of feel a little left out from that. But
yeah, I don't blame you.
But my larger point is, it's great that I'm always in town for Pride.
That's because we go on vacation.
We always go on vacation that last week of June, right?
Last week of June, first week of July.
Right.
So of course, you're going to be on vacation during Pride. Right. That's how
now,
it works.
Now, Brody, we did have breakfast this morning. One morning at a really great place that was recommended. We were sitting out. It was near the beach. Whatever. Now, I ordered my breakfast, and I said, "Can I have a side of avocado?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, we don't have that." And I'm like, "All right,
where is this? America?
This is in St. Petersburg."
Okay.
Hold on, wait. So one of the menu items that you could order was guacamole and chips. So I'm like, okay. Wait a second. I'm like, it says here you have guac and chips. So obviously you guys make it in house, right? And the waitress was like, "Yeah, we do." So I said, "All right, so you guys have some guac on deck that you're about to make that you didn't make yet?" And she says, "Yeah, I'm sure, yeah." I said, "Well, that means you guys have avocados." And she goes, "Yeah, but it's not on the menu." I'm like, "Oh, so you don't have that." So,
local manager gets to make the avocado policy, apparently.
So apparently, yes. Yeah. So it was just very, very interesting that I was ordering... I was like, "All right, so then give me a side of guac, I guess, and I'll just pretend it's not mashed up.
He's asking for a side of guac, but tell him not to mix it with other stuff. Give me a side of guac, no tomato, no lemon juice, no onion.
And don't slice it.
Right.
Or don't mash it. Just... It's just right. Fat. I mean, if you have...
Have you ever seen the movie with Jack Nicholson? I think it's a 12 easy pieces. It's some. It's a certain amount of easy pieces.
Right.
And he wants... I think he wants something plain. I think he wants a scoop of chicken salad.
Right.
And they're like, we only have chicken salad sandwiches. So I know I'm getting this wrong, but the gist of it is he does something to the effect of, well, give me a chicken salad sandwich. Hold the bread,
hold the lettuce, hold everything
and bring me some, just bring me the chicken salad or something like that. She goes, well, what do you, she's like, hey, it's a very funny scene. And, he basically just orders the thing he wants. And then he says, I'll pay for it. Just hold the stuff I don't want. Cause they won't give it to him. They won't give him what he wants.
Right.
It's that kind of thing. So he ordered the guac, you know, without that other stuff.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's
a Brody move.
It's logical.
That's
but I know,
I would ask.
But it's I confronted her though on it. I said, they're like, yeah, no, we don't have sliced avocado. Sorry. And I'm like, but you have whole ones in the fridge. Just fucking peel one and cut it in
That's
half.
Right.
I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. Just hand me a fucking guac. Hand me an avocado out of the box and give me a knife and I'll fucking peel it myself.
Right,
I don't care.
Charge me for guac.
Charge me for guac. But these people are very short-sighted. So there was that. But
I have a question about your trip because if you don't mind me interrupting.
No, I don't.
So you told a story, and I have to confess something, which I didn't tell you because I didn't want to tell you at the time. But Monday, our first day back. So what's today? Wednesday.
Yeah.
Monday, you told a story on the air, right? I had gone upstairs to the kitchen and talked to my wife for a minute, and apparently you started telling a story. I took my earpiece out where I monitor the show to talk to my wife for a minute.
Yeah,
there was no conversation going on when I walked upstairs from the den where I do the show. And I come back, I pop the thing back in my ear, and I sit down by my laptop, and I'm listening to the show, and I'm hearing, oh, Scary, that's a great idea. You totally took advantage of the hotel. Oh, Scary, that's terrible. Yeah. That's wrong. What are you doing? And it was a big debate. People calling and going, Scary's, and I'm looking at text messages. It's great move, Scary. It's such a Brody thing to do. Yeah. And then people are like, you're a dick, Scary. But I was like, so, I didn't want to tell you. I didn't hear it. So I could have listened to the Elvis Duran On Demand channel, but I thought I would just ask you what you did because I don't know what you did that people were debating.
So
I'd love to give my opinion live on the, on this podcast.
Well,
sort of.
This is what happened. Okay. And it's a very short story, but here's how it went.
Am I going to like it?
You're going to give me a standing ovation. But this is really more about this is a tip for all the slices. This is, you guys have to do this when you're visiting somewhere, or even if you're not in your own hometown. Let's say you wanted to go to a fancy restaurant. Now, I know a lot of people, they're like, ah, fuck that. I go to Chili's and, Applebee's, whatever. But let's say you want to go to an occasion place, a place that has a restaurant that may be hard to get into, okay? Here's what you do, okay? Google.
Well, what did you do?
Here's what I did. All right, so I showed up. It was the Atlanta, the day that we had, the day the Mets got routed by the Braves, the day after. We wanted to go to a great dinner that night. And so we heard about this restaurant by a bunch of people that were in the pool Brody, I found a couple of pools while along the way. I know people were concerned that I wasn't going to get my pool time in. I wanted to ask you about your pool in a little bit.
We'll
get to that.
Check my Instagram at David Brody. You'll know what I did with my pool. But anyway, go on.
So I said, look, I want to go to the steakhouse, called the steakhouse. And of course, sorry, we don't have any reservations available. In fact, you have to book this about a week in advance, maybe even more. And it was a Tuesday, Wednesday night. I'm like, get the hell out of here. You guys have. And in my mind, I'm like, I know they're holding spots for VIPs.
VIPs.
They always do. We talked about
that. Don't they know you're a social influencer? We learned that.
Right.
Last
we learned
episode.
That a few episodes ago, right?
Yeah.
So I said, all right. I said, I hung up. I'm like, great. I don't know anyone. First of all, it's like Atlanta is my kryptonite. No one knows who Scary Jones is in Atlanta. We're not on the air.
We were only on the air there for like 4 months.
Yeah. And if I usually don't have that, the next best thing. That's right. We got kicked off the air there.
Although the bastards who replaced us kept playing our phone taps.
They did.
Remember
they did.
That?
Yes, I did.
So our phone taps were on Atlanta radio for like a year.
Yeah.
Even though our show wasn't. And they're not bastards, by the way. I remember who they are, but just the nerve. The nerve of them.
So they said to me, and by the way, I don't have any Scary Jones influences. I can't say who I am.
I can't drop Elvis's name.
And I certainly don't have any. I don't have any radio friends there because that's the next best thing is you get a radio friend who is familiar with the city, and then maybe they can make the call and be, you know, no such luck. So I thought a light bulb just went on in my head, like bling, and I'm like, I got it.
Your light bulbs make that noise when you turn them on.
It went bling.
You must have a loud house. Go on.
Every high end restaurant or a difficult restaurant has attached to it a VIP list, right? And they also deal
some seats. Yeah,
they have the seats available, but they also have affiliations with the high end hotels in the area. So what did I do, Brody? I did some research on whatever the hotel was. It could be the Ritz-Carlton Royal Palace Four Seasons or so. Name it. I'm not going to name
hotel.
It. Fancy hotel, 5 stars.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And I Googled it, and I Googled the general manager's name. Let's call her Larissa. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. So I said, So Larissa's the GM here. I'm going to call the concierge because I know they got the connects with the restaurants. So I called
the concierge.
It could be concierge, whatever you want to say.
Concierge?
I don't even know. So I was not staying at this hotel, but
this wasn't your hotel?
No. I picked a random 5-star, I Google mapped it. And I'm like, okay, this 5-star hotel is close to the steakhouse.
Right.
They got to know each other.
They send people there all the time.
They got to send, right. So I called up the concierge at this 5-star hotel and said, hi, is Larissa there? You know, just already to ingratiate myself, like,
sure, and they're like, you know, no, Larissa, my buddy.
And by the way, it was after 6 o'clock, so I know where's the general manager.
Larissa probably wasn't there.
Larissa's, right. Oh, no, she's gone for the day. Okay, great.
Oh, damn.
Sorry.
Okay.
I just missed her. Hey, listen, she told me to, I could give you guys a call. I'm actually checking in tomorrow. So that would explain why my name is not on a room number. They're not going to ask me for my room number.
Right, you're not there
yet. Yeah, I'm not there yet. I said, but I got in town a day early, and I'm entertaining some clients. So if you could, I'm trying to get into this highfalutin
bougie steakhouse,
and maybe you can help me out with it.
A steak dinner I don't get, by the way. Go on.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, we could do that. What's your phone number? And I said, okay, here's my number. They're like, okay, and what would you like the name under? And they're taking all the information down, and they're like, okay, no guarantees. But
now they didn't look up your reservation number.
No, because the fact that I mentioned Larissa automatically confirmed me that I had
that you're
business.
You're a high roller, regular customer.
I had business at this hotel.
And oh, my God.
So they were going to do me the favor. They were going to do the solid, as we say in Brooklyn.
Right, do me solid,
yeah.
Right.
So they're like, all right. I said, would you guys be able to call over there? Do you know people? And they're like, yeah, we deal with them all the time. Of course you do.
Of course they do.
So I hang up the phone.
I'm getting ready to stand up here. Go
20
ahead.
Minutes later, they call me back, and they're like, Mr. Skiri? I'm like, yes. Like, all right, you're all set for your reservation tonight?
They made the reservation for
at
you.
8 o'clock. Yes, they made it
for you. You didn't have to call and drop a name.
No.
They made the call.
They called on my behalf and say it's the St. Regency Ritz-Carlton Four Seasons, whatever the hotel.
Quality Inn.
I'm not going to tell you which one it was.
Quality Inn Express.
Yeah, exactly. And no, that's where I was. I was at the Holiday Inn Express when I was making the phone call.
And they said,
your reservation's taken care of. Just show up at 8 o'clock, or you know, bam, steak dinner.
What the fudge?
And by the way, everybody,
how was dinner?
It was phenomenal. It was so good. You know, the steak was worth it. The atmosphere, all of it.
Oh, but, yeah, Brody, you should have been there. Yeah,
Brody, you should have been there. No, but
I hate you.
To the slices. Just know where there's a will, there's a way. You've got to think and put yourself in the situation because, first of all, we know these places have seats available that they're not telling you about. There was nothing on Open Table. There was nowhere on the website. You couldn't. It was just one of those things like you can't come in. Well, guess
right,
what?
It's like sold out concerts. So they always,
right.
The arena keeps a couple, right. couple
so
seats.
So it's a brilliant idea I thought I had, and people were, that's why, Brody, they were applauding me. So hopefully you feel the same way.
Well, I'm sorry I missed the setup on the air when you told the story, but that's impressive. I feel like you learned a lot listening to this podcast.
Well, it just dawned upon me that they had to have connections.
That is a Brooklyn boys move.
It is a very
if nothing else from this podcast, people, I'm hoping you learned something today.
Yes.
Every day's a lesson.
It is.
Every episode's a learning experience.
Right. Like the learning experience that you guys should all have had by now, that when you want great pizza from a local place, you go to our friends at Slice, because Slice is connected to thousands and thousands of local network pizzerias around the country, and they don't charge them the crazy fees that the big apps do. So Slice, we love you for that you're actually helping out the local small business. And Brody, I know that you've had some great experience with discovering pizzerias in your neighborhood and your city that you didn't even know about, that they exist.
Well, you know what? I saw a pizza fight break out on a Facebook page from a town that I'm in the Facebook group, from a town nearby that has a lot of good pizza places. So they said, I think this pizza place is the best. It's in this other town. And so I'd never heard of it. So last night I said to my wife, I go, you know what? Want to try some new pizza? Yeah, let's try some new Italian food. So we ordered from this place in our area, and I'm like, I use the Slice app. Use the app.
Yeah.
Ordered the food, customized my pizza. I had, I'm gonna tell you what the pizza was called, because I want to get, it's not, I did, it was the Sorrento pizza. No, the Sorrentina pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Which I ordered it with no basil. And then I added ricotta cheese on top, or ricotta for those of you if you prefer.
Or ricotta for the people.
My wife
Brooklyn.
Ordered a spicy shrimp appetizer. Oh. It's not just pizza, by the way, right. On the app. You can order whatever you want. And so, and she ordered long hot peppers. Yeah.
Long hots.
It came with long hots with sausage and a marinara sauce.
Yeah.
And so shout out to Fiammella Wood Fired Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Montclair, New Jersey. Excellent food. And because of the app, they called me and said, Mr. Brody, your order's ready. They called me when it was ready, which I love.
Right. So you chose to go pick it up, although you can have it delivered.
Yeah. And in the special instructions, I said, bring it out to my four-door black Dodge Charger. So when I pulled up, they already knew what kind of car I was in.
Nice.
And it came right out. So awesome. Thank you, Slice.
Yeah.
Thank
and,
you.
And by the way, I'm one pizza point away from earning my 8 pizza points. Every time you make an order of over $15, you get a pizza point. Now, what does a pizza look like? They have a round with 8 slices. So guess what? 8 pizza points, you get a free pie. But best of all, when you download Slice, the app, or you go to slicelife.com, your first order gets you $5 off if you use code Brooklyn. You got to use the code Brooklyn, and we want to show them that we're using the code Brooklyn, folks, because we need that to show proof that we've actually talked about them today.
That's right.
And they got something else.
Speaking of proof, one more thing we should mention, because I saw this and I thought, like, we should mention on the podcast. So if you're anywhere near the Jersey Shore this weekend, and by this weekend, I mean the
weekend of
16th, 17th, 18th, somewhere around there, whatever the, this weekend, Slice is flying a plane with a banner over the Jersey Shore. And if you take a picture of it and post it on your social media and you tag @Slice, you can win free pizza and swag and other pizza and other prizes just for posting the picture.
Very important. Do that this weekend. Look for the Slice plane. Snap a pic. Put it on your social. Right. Boom. Tag @Slice. You could be in the running for some free pie. I have. There's something I wanted to tell you after this about United Airlines, Brody. I'm going to need your help with something.
All right. I got tagged because you complained about something, and somebody wrote, better get Brody.
BGB, better get Brody.
All right. We'll talk about it next.
With Brody and Scary.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Can I, before we talk about your situation with the airline, can I tell you what really pissed me off while we're on vacation?
I thought you did at the beginning of the podcast with the fireworks.
No. Our company, it's something our company didn't do, but someone in our company did. So let me, we had this competition where the big bosses sent out an email to everyone and said, hey, we're having an innovation competition. Now, if you work for a corporate company, a big corporation rather, sometimes they have these motivational competitions or brainstorming thing, right? They said, hey, we're going to award money and prizes if you've got a great idea.
Oh, like I saw that email go by.
Right. So this was, I don't know, beginning of June, and they said, you have until this date, right? It didn't say, like, hurry in with your submissions. It said you have 2 weeks or whatever it was, get in your submissions by whatever date it was, and our team of experts, our panel, will go through all of the submissions, and we'll pick the best ones.
Sure. Okay?
I sent in, like, 6.
Right.
Okay? 3 of them, when they released the list of the top, I don't know, 7 or 8 innovations, ideas, 3 of them were ideas I submitted of the 8.
Okay.
But when it attached the name to who suggested it,
right?
Not my names.
Really?
Not my name anywhere near there.
Ooh.
Now, 2 of them, I would say, could have been coincidence. Although one of the guys knows I had that idea. So I was a little bit like, okay.
It's like he stole your idea, wrote it down, and got the credit.
But I want to address a guy that I'm going to refer to as Pete. Mm. Okay? About 10 years ago.
Sneaky Pete?
Sneaky Pete. About 10 years ago, in a meeting with a big muckety muck, I had an idea for our company. It had to do with creating a database of radio people talent and this way, if somebody in California wanted to hire somebody, they would look in the database for someone.
I get my talent from California.
Right. Right. Who might have enough talent to be in that size city. And in their profile, they might work in Atlanta, but their goal is to get back to California.
Right.
Anyway, there was a lot more to it. Right. And the idea, I was told it was a great idea, but it wasn't going to get pulled off.
Right.
Then about 7 years ago, I brought it up
when you originally created it, yeah. Was it Pete who created it with you?
Or no,
you
my idea.
Right, but you so told Pete, did you idea. Tell Pete
nope,
about
didn't
it?
Tell Pete, didn't okay, tell Pete.
Gotcha.
Right. Told a couple of big muckety mucks. Now, we work in New York, so all the muckety mucks are always in the building. So at a meeting, I brought it up, this idea. Now, there's a lot more to it. It was a big global thing. It was about promoting our own talent and training our own people.
Sure.
And this way, rather than hiring outside the company, it would be like a database of audio and air checks and like right. whatever. I don't want to get into all the details, but it was a great, everyone was like, that's a brilliant idea. Oh, my God. Never got done. So then I want to say 5 years ago, I was in a meeting with one of the muckety mucks who many times had heard my idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I just want to let you know, I pitched your idea to some of the biggest muckety mucks. And about a month and a half ago, we started it. What? Yeah, we started it. What do you mean you started it? It was my idea. You didn't even tell me about it. Oh, yeah. Well, they liked it. So I said, well, what do you mean they started it? Yeah, they're starting a database.
Yeah.
A website? Yeah. I said, well, who's in charge? Pete.
Oh.
Pete Pete was a regional type guy. Not my guy, but I knew who he was in the company.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does Pete have to do with this? They're like, oh, Pete and Steve. I said Bob, but Bob's head of our company. It wasn't him. They were like, Pete and Steve. They're going to be in charge of the database. I go, it was my idea. Yeah, but these guys are in positions of authority. They wanted Pete and Steve to oversee this thing, and they're launching it.
Yeah, but for your idea.
I was pitching it for like 6-7 years at that point, whatever. I've told it to everybody. It's my idea. Yeah, well, and this is the big corporate speak. You know what? It's not important where the ideas come from. It's important that the company benefits from the idea, and it's going to be good for the company, and that benefits everybody.
And what does that translate to?
I go, but when I want to raise, I'm going to be like, well, what? No, Pete and Steve.
Pete and Steve, they're the ones that get the stripes. Right. They get the credit. They get the glory.
Yeah, so this one, so they said, we'd like you to submit
you get the glory hole.
Yeah, we'd like you to continue what you do, find talent in the company, and submit them to the database.
Yeah.
So you can help.
Yeah.
I go, oh, I can help?
Oh, you can help at your idea, but Pete and Steve are overseeing it.
Right. Now, Al, now you know Al.
I know Al.
Al has worked for our show.
Yes.
Al was the guy that I would tell, Al, you got to help me out here. Let's get this idea going. Because Al is on the talent end. And Al is the one who told me that Pete and Steve were now doing this. So he's like, I put in a good word. You can help Pete and Steve. I go, I don't want to help Pete and Steve. It's my fucking idea. Okay. So Steve leaves the company. And now Pete's running the company, running this my idea. So I email Pete. I go, hey, Pete, I know you spoke to Al. I know you know this whole concept was my idea. Now that Steve has left the company...
Can I be the other guy, the co-pilot in this heading up of the project that, by the way, that I fucking created? I am my idea.
So Pete says, nah, I'm good.
Of course he is, because Pete wants all the credit and the money.
So Pete wants all the credit,
right? Pete wants the raise.
So this lasts about 8 months, and all of a sudden, Pete seems to lose interest, and all of a sudden, the database thing's not continuing.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
That was, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago.
All right. Now, so fast forward. Here we go.
Fast forward to this innovation competition.
Which was just this past month.
And it basically says Brody's idea, in so many words.
Right.
For a talent database.
Right.
And a farm system of talent. And it says, congratulations to Pete on a fantastic idea.
Wait, what? But it has your name that you've been acknowledged?
No. I'm saying the description is create a talent database and promote from within, create a farm. Like, it's a whole thing. It's my idea. And it says, congratulations to Pete. So I go back to Al. I go, Al, what the fuck? He goes, yeah, I saw it, man. I'd be pissed too. That was your idea. I go, Al, baby, you got to tell somebody.
Al, come on, work with me, Al.
Work with me, Al. Al, you know. Al, I told you this 10 years ago, Al. And I was like, Brody, you know, the people that need to know it was your idea, but.
Yeah, but you're not getting the free shit for it. Aren't you? Isn't there prizes at stake?
I go, Pete's got like a top 8 idea here. It's my idea. So I email the people running the contest. I go, hey.
Oh, you're overmodulating, Brody. Please, you're screaming into your microphone.
So I go, hey, guys. So I go, hey, board of decision makers. At least 3 of those ideas were mine. I submitted them all, but 2 of them are blatantly ripping me off. They wrote back, well, we can't verify that, so we had to go by the order it was submitted, and he submitted first. I said, where in the rules does it say you have to rush the idea in? You said we had 2 weeks. I go, it's my idea. I have an email trail. I can prove it. Yeah, but he could have had the idea also. So fuck you, board of decision makers at my company, because so Pete got the glory and the other guy got the glory. I'm not even getting into that guy, but Pete's the big offender because Pete ran the thing knowing it was my idea.
This is so typical that David Brody gets fucked in the ass. You always do.
And where's my music?
Because...
I didn't even get my music. That's how screwed I am.
Because we've already climaxed. You want the music now?
No, yeah, I feel like I should get something. And you know what the word, like Al was like, you're right. You're 100% right. Al's like, Pete shouldn't have done that. I go, Al, you're middle management. Can you go to somebody? I can't. That's high up there. He goes, you know how it goes. I know how it goes.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right.
There are people in this company that when I told them the idea 10 years ago, they were like regular level management. They are presidents of the company now, and they didn't give me credit.
And, you know, and you can, people can relate that are listening to this.
Yes, everybody works in a, you work at Dairy Queen. You had a great idea. The manager takes credit for it.
Here's the best part, though. And this is very important advice, okay? Because we've seen people in the company do this. Whenever they manage... You're supposed to manage up. Manage up to the people that you want to suck up to, and to, because then they will recognize you, and then you will be brought up with them into the next level.
I sucked up to sevens and eights.
I know.
But I went up to the sevens and eights, and the sevens and eights went to the 9-10s. Right. I couldn't get to the 9-10s.
But in your everyday role, Brody, what do? Fucking. You manage down because you manage the intern program. Those people aren't going to help you get a promotion later in life.
I went to a guy who was a 7 in the company. And a guy who was an 8 in the company.
Right.
By the way, the 8 is now a 9. Well, the 7 is now a 9.5.
No. I'm saying that's...
Al got promoted 3 times. And the other guy that used to work in our building, you know who he is.
Yes.
He's now one of the... He's 9.8 in the company. He's a mega shot.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
No. He didn't say, wait a minute, I know that idea. That was Brody's idea from 10 years ago.
Well, that's what makes this all hilarious. Okay. That's why this is funny.
I'm laughing on the inside.
No, this is why it's funny. But in real...
What concierge can I call to get me credit?
In real life, Brody. In real life, people are going, you know, I'm just saying you should try and do what Brody's trying to do is manage up. But, you know, whatever the case.
Fuck you, Pete. Woofa. That's a major effort.
There's been a lot of yelling on this podcast so far, but
yeah, well, you got to stop.
It's all my fault. Something that I didn't tell anybody, which I'm about to tell you right now, and the slices, and I don't know how to handle it or how to follow up with it, is, I took a flight out on United, and you know they always tell you that it's not their fault when it's weather related. Okay, keep that in mind. It's not their fault.
That's fair.
Right. So, and I agree with that statement. But in this particular case, there was a plane that I was supposed to get on to go to. That was the last leg of my trip. Where was I going? Oh, I was going to San Juan. It was San Juan. It was a 7:30 in the morning flight out of Newark Airport, and I get there and then it was supposed to leave at 7:30, and then we find out that at 6:30, as we're boarding, we get on the plane And then I see the pilot come running up to the flight attendant, and they're like, "What? No. What is he talking about? What?" It was like a, like kind of a little bit of a back and forth dialogue. I'm like, "That's weird." I'm sitting in my seat and I see the pilot come running up. This can't be good.
Oh, that's never good.
But she's like, and then he's like, "Oh, you tell him. No, you tell him. I'm gonna, you tell him." So they're like, "All right," they make an announcement on board. "All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are already boarded, please deplane right now. We need to deplane the board." Ooh. I'm like, "Deplane? What's wrong with this fucking thing?"
By the way, I hate that term. You don't decar, right? Do you detrain? No, you get off the train, get out of the car.
Get out.
Shouldn't it just be like,
everybody
get
out.
Off the plane?
Everybody off. Get off the plane.
Deplane.
So we all...
Remember the Fantasy Island show?
Deplane! Deplane!
Deplane. Go Google Fantasy Island opening scene. You'll
some snowflake's going to complain about your accent. So
you know what? I nailed it.
You did.
Oh, it's problematic. It's problematic. I did an impression. Problematic.
You're not woke. So we come off the plane, and then the pilot of all people gets on the friggin' CB radio, the thing that they at the gate.
The PA system?
The PA system, yes. "Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. So as you can see, this flight here, we're going to San Juan. We had to take... as it turns out, this plane was originally slated to go to India. And last night, they switched planes and they gave us this plane to go to San Juan. Well, this plane has 350,000 pounds of fuel on it. So it will be too heavy to land in San Juan because not enough fuel will have burned off. Obviously, it's supposed to land in... It was slated to land in India, so all the fuel would have burned off. So as you can see, we have a problem. So there's this one truck that comes to offload fuel from the plane. Okay. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Okay. That is scheduled to arrive here at your departure time of 7:30. And it takes 45 minutes... to unload the 150,000 gallons of fuel that we need to make the plane light enough so we can fly it." And I'm like, okay, and this is my fault. Why? Why am I being inconvenienced for this? Still no. Okay, so now it's 8:30. Now it's 8:30. And they come back and they're like, "As it turns out, that truck that was supposed to arrive at your scheduled departure time,
the gas sucker
was supposed to come at 7:30. It just got there at 8:30.
It ran out of gas, so
no, it got there at 8:30. And oh, okay, now it's 9:30.
That would be irony, by the way.
Yes, yeah. That would be. Now it's 9:30. As it turns out, that was already half full. They have to send a second truck now to suck the rest of the gas off. Oh wait, now it's 10:30. Oh, we need a third truck because that one was half full.
Oh, so now, no.
Brody, they put us on the plane at around 9:30. We fucking took off at like a quarter after 12.
Wait a minute. Is this AM or PM now?
AM. Oh, PM. So what I'm saying is it was 7:30 in the morning flight. Oh. We leave at 12:15. Because
that's almost 5 hours.
My question is...
That's beach time.
Why in the fuck did they not schedule a truck... to do the job in the overnight? I mean, they switched the plane in the overnight. Did somebody, you know, so the pilot was trying to make...
What airport is this? What
Newark
city?
It was Newark Liberty International Airport, and it was United.
Nobody calls it that. Fuck that. It's Newark Airport.
United Airlines.
By the way, on a routine,
this is a daily flight that leaves at 7:30 with the same flight number 2143 that leaves every morning at 7:30 to go.
And they
to
don't
Uni-
have another plane. It sounds like they could have gotten a plane there
does
faster
not, no.
than the truck.
Right, but my point is, someone somewhere decided the night before to change the plane and said, "You know what? This plane, we're going to give you another plane."
Well,
and by the way, this was
the fuel from. For the India plane. No, the India plane must have been...
The India
San
plane
Juan
was...
empty.
I don't know. They got it from somewhere else. I don't know what they did. Maybe they canceled the flight. That has nothing to do with us.
Right.
What I'm saying is
why, yeah.
a night before, they took the plane and said, "All right, this plane is not going to go to India. We're just going to leave it at the gate because first thing in the morning, it's going to go to San Juan." Why did sometime in the overnight, the fuel truck, this gas sucker, come to suck the gas off? Why did it say...
did the truck try to suck its own gas off? You know, Scary, you probably could have gotten to the side of the plane and sucked the gas out.
You know what I'm saying? And I've been known to try crazier things. So, you know, what the fuck, man? So now what am I owed? Because it's not a weather-related issue. In my opinion, it's on United. You fucked up. You had one right. job. This is their fault. Now, they've delayed me for 5 hours. What are you going to do for me? All they said was they made an announcement on the loudspeaker. So everybody gets to, you know, we thank you for your patience.
5 hours of free time at the airport.
Bullshit.
Did they pay for your food?
Nothing happened. Nothing.
Oh, that's some bullshit. Well, they got to buy you lunch.
Well, I tweeted the fuck out of them, and United, who responds to everyone on Twitter, did not respond to me. You know why? Oh. Because they were in the wrong.
Did you call the airport concierge?
No. Didn't call anyone. So, WB.
Well, you know, I'm not a believer in karma.
WBD.
But it sounds like you got concierged back. It sounds like you took advantage in Atlanta and you got fuck going to San Juan.
Well, that's
like the universe is equal. I'm not a believer in that.
Well, what would you do, man?
Well, I would call corporate, and I would, and if they tell me each pilot makes their own return policies, I'd be pissed.
No, you know,
you can't accept that. That's not acceptable.
All right,
not
so
acceptable.
Where do I start?
If there's a plane malfunction, then they're doing it to save
different,
your life, right?
Different story.
I get that. Right. If there's a snowstorm, what?
different story. Different
but
story.
They fucked
never
up
complain.
On the too much gas thing. Look, they could have taken a screwdriver and punched a hole in it and just let it drip for 2-3 hours. It would have been faster, I think, than waiting
three
for
trucks.
The
by the way, the gas sucking truck shows up well into an hour after our departure time, and then was already half full. They didn't send an empty truck. They sent a fucking truck half full.
Well, why
so
did they
needed,
have a gas truck suck the gas out of the gas
dude,
truck?
Dude, it's like to me. I compared it to.
Don't have like a gas sucking bicycle.
It's like you trying to take the water out of your pool with a fucking with a water bucket, like just to kind of shovel water out of your. That's how they were trying to offload this gas. That they had to have three trucks come over the course of 5 hours.
Well, you know, United Airlines hasn't been in business very long. They probably didn't know how to do it.
Please. So, honestly, in all seriousness, well, I mean,
you
I
know what I would say.
Oh,
free
I'm ready.
Dessert.
Yeah, but what in the form of what?
Well, in the form of you were supposed to have lunch with a client in San Juan. You lost your reservation. You lost half a day for their incompetency. I would want a free ticket. I would want a free seat upgrade. I would want my $23 back that I spent on lunch at Newark Airport.
Ridiculous.
Like, there's things you could ask for.
Well, I want it
and
all.
And they go, and they're going to say, well, sir, we can't possibly do that for all 230 people on the plane.
Right.
But you know what? I don't care about 230 people. I care about Skiri Jones, and no one else called you. Right. I want what I want. That's bad customer service.
It's terrible.
And I got to be honest with you. I have nothing but love for the airlines in general and all the people that work there. But the airline companies are doing their best, right, to get business back, to get people comfortable flying again. Tourism took a huge hit this past year. I would be going out of my way to win people over.
Right.
So I would say that, you know.
Right.
I'm a regular flyer, and this is not...
I am a frequent flyer. I have my miles with them. I have my credit card with them. I mean, I'm all in on them.
We know you have a choice in sitting at the airport, but we're glad that you chose our company to make you sit at the airport. That should be what they say to you. Yeah, I would be pissed.
All right.
Absolutely pissed.
So I'm not out of line for like... Because I'm about to have a follow-up phone call. I'm going to go off on them because they didn't even respond to me on Twitter. And what kind of customer service is that?
That's terrible. Even Walmart got back to me right away.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not nearly as angry as you, but it's just...
I'm getting angry for you.
I know.
I'm getting a little upset.
I can't tell you what. Can you call there and pretend to be me?
For a price.
Oh, I see how it is. You were negotiating, huh?
Yeah, I want 30% of whatever I get you.
Oh, you want 30%, huh?
30%.
20% is a deal.
26%.
Oh, look at you. 25.8. That's such a Brody move. Nickel and diming your own buddy.
I might call back. I'll need your credit card number. You know what I need?
Yeah,
like,
I know what you need.
A phone tapping. I need to get all your information.
All the information.
And I'll do it on here. Like you and I'll connect. You can hear the whole thing.
Yeah, and you'll give my credit card number right here over the.
No. Not like on the podcast. I just meant like we'll set up audio like this and we'll call so you can listen in. We'll do a 3-way call on the phone. It's fine.
Yeah.
But have it headphones and we can record it. That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, but I see over the holiday, you know, some people alerted me to the fact that you, David Brody, did some upgrades around your pool and your hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hot tub and the pool that I have yet to be invited to.
Yeah. So what I did was, well, the lights are out by my hot tub. We put those up for December holiday season. So those have been up for a while. I have a tree, a big tree right off my deck and where the hot tub is. So when you're in the hot tub, it lights up. And I put lights around the deck railing so I could light the deck up as well. But around the pool, I have a fence around the pool. And again, I'm not trying to be bougie. The house came with the pool and the fence was already there. But we have a light in the backyard so you could swim at night, but it's not as cool and as bright as you'd like. It's bright enough.
Right.
But my daughter has been having friends over for a little, you know, some pool parties. And later at night, she's like, oh, I have my friends over, jump in the pool. So I lit the pool up. I put LED lights around the top of the fence that change color and blink and whatever else. So I took a picture of the lights when they were blue and I posted it and I said, look how good the pool looks. This is what I'm doing on vacation, and Scary still can't come in the pool.
Yeah,
so
which sucks because I really feel like I've earned that right to come to your pool because we are boys, right?
No, okay. We're boys, yet you keep going on baseball trips without me. So, you know,
there's no way. There's no way you are going to spring for a baseball trip with my Brooklyn boys. My ultimate original Brooklyn boy friends.
I would have gone to Atlanta. I would have done that. Gone to a Met game in Atlanta. I could afford that.
All right, why don't you fly to Miami right now?
You're in New Jersey.
I got another trip coming up at the end.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
You ain't coming to Miami.
Depends how much money I make off United Airlines.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah. But before we take another break, because I know we're up against, we have to take a break at some point. We're up against it. Like, we have a clock. No, they always say that on the sports stations. Yeah. We're up against the update.
Right.
We're against an update. Make a point. Okay. Speaking of St. Petersburg, you posted something. You can mention the name of the place if you want. I'm not going to. But you posted a picture. You were at a place claiming to have Brooklyn pizza.
Yeah, about that. And I didn't know. I didn't claim it. I posted it on my story.
Right.
I'm like, this place claims they have Brooklyn pizza. It was like Brooklyn Vinny's or something.
Can I say the name?
Yeah,
I know it. Joey's Brooklyn's Pizza.
Yeah. Joey's Brooklyn's
Joey
Pizza.
Joey Brooklyn, apostrophe S, Joey Brooklyn's Pizza.
So I was one night.
First of all, if you're from Brooklyn, it'd be Joe Brooklyn. You wouldn't be Joey Brooklyn. You'd be Joe Brooklyn, right? So that's first of all. So ready, you're fake. Second of all, you posted this picture, and I can tell from looking at it that it's pizza.
It is. It was pizza. Now, I never claimed it was any good. I was just curious because I'm walking by, and I'm like, look at this place trying to be, prove me wrong. So I walked in to grab a slice. I wasn't even hungry.
It looks so bad.
I walked in. I'm like, can I have a slice? So I was talking to the guy. And the guy behind the counter struck me as somebody who might have been from Brooklyn. He goes, yeah. So he might have been originally from Brooklyn, maybe 30.
Or his grandparents were from Brooklyn.
No, 30 years ago, came from Brooklyn to come to St. Petersburg. It wasn't that good. Brody,
a connoisseur. I'm looking at this pizza, and it looks like? It looks like conveyor belt pizza. It looks like you got it from Domino's or what, like one of the conveyor belt places.
Yeah.
You can tell by the crust. The color of the cheese is wrong.
Everything.
There's no cheese near the crust, so
it was off. It was
bubbled
about,
up bread. It's just terrible.
Now, I will say
terrible.
This.
So
for a place that's, St. Petersburg, Florida, where you're not getting great, amazing pizza anywhere, it was passable for like just decent, like I guess, but it would not stand up to anything that we have here. It's the best of what was available at the time.
How I can tell that I didn't know the pizza in the background on the table in your picture is little, they look like sugar packages, but they're little packages of crushed red pepper.
Yeah.
That is a sign you're at a pizza place. You're at a shit pizza place.
Yeah.
Because if they're putting little packages of crushed red pepper instead of the little shakers of red pepper, they're a shit pizza place. A real pizza place has shakers of fresh grated cheese, oregano, crushed red pepper.
Right.
You don't put packages of red pepper out like you're a fast food joint.
No.
That's some bullshit right there.
It really is. You have to have it in the glass. The glass thing with the sprinkler, with the fucking, with the metal cap.
With the 8 or 9 holes.
With the holes in it. That's real. or somewhat. You,
this is offensive
now,
to me.
Now, I will
they
say...
They didn't even ate there. I can't...
Yeah. But I had to try because I was curious. I never said it was great. Now, Damon Johns wrote to us, and this is... We don't really have time for email this week, but I want... There's a couple I wanted to talk about, like this guy here, because it relates to it. The Brooklyn Boys Podcast at gmail.com. Send us your email. My name is Damon. I'm a slice from, get this, from Iowa. Guess what? Casey's Pizza, that gas station pizza we keep talking about, it sucks. I took a screenshot of my lock screen of the iHeart app. And it has, oh, by the way, this is all of his complaints in one. So Casey's Pizza sucks. And then he took the lock screen of the iHeart app, and Brody's face is covered up. So that's another problem.
That's a problem.
We know that. But you say it's not a problem because you're okay with it for some reason.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then and I'm up to episode number 168. And then he also says, Michael Rappaport said he would come back to you guys in an earlier podcast. I'm up to 168 and still no sign of Michael Rappaport's reappearance.
Well, you know what? Ever since Michael Rappaport screwed me over on the Cameo app, by putting Bethany Frankel as the person who told him about the app, she's getting like 5% of all his money instead of me. I got beef with Rappaport.
By the way,
I still love the guy, and we would have him back on, but he cost me some money.
Right.
He you know what he did? He peated me.
He peated you.
Fuck you, Pete. Yeah. You know, Rappaport screwed me. Unintentionally, I'm sure it wasn't deliberate, but he threw a bone to Bethany Frankel, who does not need the money.
Does not. Also, somebody, and then on the opposite side of the Casey's Pizza, gas station pizza
talk
argument.
Talk about that one.
I don't know. I'm trying to find it on my phone right now. I can't find it.
I don't have it. Somebody put up a picture of Casey's Pizza.
And they said it's awesome.
It's the best.
Right.
It's fantastic. Here's the problem.
We don't know what to believe.
Let me tell you about, forgive me for, I don't remember who sent it. I usually screenshot all of the pictures you guys send so I can talk about it. I'll talk about the fake ketchup next week that everyone's been sending me. But this picture of Casey's Pizza that I can't find on my phone, apologize.
I'm looking for it.
Yeah. It looked like it was in the trunk of somebody's car with the lid of the pizza box open. And they said, this is the best. The tag said, and I don't know if it was someone who posted a picture of someone else's post and it wasn't theirs, but it said, move over. Forget about New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
This is the best pizza in the country.
Get the fuck out of here.
Hold on. It was a taco pizza. It had lettuce and taco meat on it and tomato. It was basically like a taco vomited on bread. Dude, you want to call it a taco pizza, but don't call it pizza.
And don't you dare claim it's anywhere near our shit.
I've never been to New York or New Jersey.
Right.
If
that's it.
Truck stop, gas station, taco pizza that you know you were shitting out 15 minutes later. Please. Yeah, and you know the pepper packages are right next to it. So
fuck that.
Pepper packages.
The pizza pepper packages from Peppa Pig?
Should that be the episode title, Pizza Pepper Packages?
I kind of like suck the gas out. Or suck gas.
Pizza Pepper Packages.
You know, fuck that. You know, anyway,
tweet us Pizza Pepper Packages. And that's Pepper. I know I said Pepper.
People, we've talked about this in a previous episode. Unless you're such a worldly person that you've been around to taste all the pizza or taste several cities, you cannot just make this judgment from your armchair sitting back in your lazy boy and just say, yeah, this is better than anything in New York. You've never been here. You've never tried this shit.
2,000 pizza places in New York City in the five boroughs. 2,000. You're not getting gas station pizza that's better than
And I've used this same argument for pizza for you, Brody, about the New Haven. It's a New Haven argument because if you haven't tasted
it. I've had New Haven pizza. It's good.
It's awesome. I love it.
By the way, if you go somewhere, you guys know, you like the signs you're in a bad restaurant. So for me, like I mentioned the red pepper packages, the pizza pepper packages, that's a sign for me not a good pizza place.
Yeah. You know when you're in a great pizza spot when they write the specials in black Sharpie on a paper plate.
Yeah, and they tape it to the wall.
And they tape it to the wall. Those are the best pizza spots. Trust
me. And it's usually like artichoke and cannelloni bean pizza. You're like, oh, they want to get rid of those two ingredients, so they're promoting that.
All right, we got to take a break.
A bunch of people have been DMing me pictures of a ketchup bottle that looks like Heinz ketchup, right? Except when you look closely, it's America's classic ketchup. So it's like trying to be Heinz ketchup by saying like, oh, we're America's classic ketchup, which you think of Heinz, right? Because that's America's classic ketchup.
It's a psycho.
It's a knockoff ketchup bottle that looks like, you know what it is? It's ketchup is what it is.
It's ketchup.
It's not
sketch.
Real. It's right.
Very
it's
sketch.
Shitty ketchup. It's sketchy.
No, it's sketch. But it's ketchup.
Right, it's sketchy. It's not real Heinz ketchup. That to me is a sign like you're cutting back.
Right.
You're using fake ketchup bottles. And even worse, like listen, if you use Hunt's ketchup, at least you're like admitting, listen, we don't have Heinz ketchup. Yeah. It is what it is.
Right.
But
you're trying to trick people. You're trying to trick people.
Right. When you're using the old knockoff. So Michael sent me that. A bunch of other people have sent me that. Also, I got Marcus sent me
On that note, we had a company did this to us back in the day. With this, it looks like Sony, like the Sony logo, written the way Sony.
Oh, Kobe.
It was called Kobe.
It was Kobe.
Kobe.
Right, COBY, the same font, four letters with an O and an N, yes. Kobe, Sony. And you'd look at it real quick and go, oh, those are good headphones.
The O and the Y.
But they weren't.
But they weren't.
They were shit.
Well, that's what they did with this ketchup bottle.
They were shit phones.
How are they not being sued for copyright infringement is what I want to know with this ketchup bottle. America's classic ketchup. It's written the same way. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, speaking of infringement, there's a gas station that has like a Quick Mart not that far from my house. Not far from the Walmart, I should say.
Right.
So about a half hour from my house. And it's something, I don't know the name of it, but we're going to just say it's Danny's. Like Danny's Quick Mart or something.
Yeah.
And the D is the authentic copyrighted Disney D font.
Oh, my God.
So it looks like... It looks like it's Disney.
Oh, that's bad. That is bad.
Like, so you know no one from Disney Corporation is in that part of New Jersey, but that's some fucking balls.
That's a lawsuit.
To use the Disney D.
Waiting to happen.
By the way, have you ever tried to suck your own Disney D?
I was trying to S my own D.
Yeah, yeah, Disney S, your Disney
we
D.
We got to take a... Dude, what are we doing? We're almost at the end of the podcast.
Let's take a break. I'm going to piss some people off.
Okay.
The Broken Boys Podcast with Brody and Scary.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I got to tell you, we are way late. I don't know where we're literally near the end already, and we're just taking our second break. What the fuck are we doing here?
I can't piss people off then.
All right,
because I need a little more time.
You need time for that. There's one thing.
Don't get mad. I can talk about stamps. When you talk about, I got stamps to talk about. Did I talk about stamps yet?
You're doing
the lady at the stamp place?
No, you're doing it right now.
Oh, all right, but you had something.
No, it was very, very brief. On the topic of going to another country where they speak a different language on an airline, they interrupt you on your headphones and they cut into the feed.
Right. You're watching a movie.
But they do it double the time because for every announcement, they have to do a second announcement in another language. That's what I experienced. It was English and Spanish. But
other country were you flying to, Scary?
Not a country. I'm so sorry. Puerto Rico is a Commonwealth of the United States, part of America, but they speak a different language, so they have to do the courtesy of making the second. Okay, it's a bilingual flight. So, but the best part of it is, and you'll notice this, I feel like the people in the second language get robbed. And here's why. Because I measured the time in my head of every announcement. The English announcement had to be about 2.5 minutes long. Then the bilingual, the Spanish announcement comes on, and it's literally 30 seconds. It was pretty much supposed to say exactly what they just said. But I'm like, there's no possible way this motherfucker could sum up what this dude said in English in 3 minutes in 30 seconds. So I feel like they're missing information. And by the way, that wasn't just that one announcement. It was every fucking announcement. So now you got a situation where I feel like you're not fully informed and you're at a loss because you speak the second language because they weren't making the full announcement. It can't possibly be 30 seconds when the original announcement in English was 2.5 minutes. Impossible.
Well, what if the Spanish was like, hey, sorry to bother you. How funny was that stupid shit we just told the English-speaking people? Like, what if they're just making fun of you?
It had to be.
Like, how ugly is that guy in 7C? And then everybody's looking at you because you're in 7C.
I'm just saying.
Listen, my wife and I went on our honeymoon to Switzerland when we got married, obviously. And I don't know if you know this, but Switzerland, everyone always says I'm neutral like Switzerland. Why is that? Because Switzerland during World War II didn't choose a side, right? And so Switzerland is in the middle of other countries. And so to the north, if I'm correct, is Germany. And to the east or west is France, right? I think to the west is France. And to the south is Italy, okay?
Yep.
So in Switzerland, they speak four languages. Almost everyone in school learns four languages. You learn German, French, Italian, and English. So when you're on the trains, and by the way, Switzerland has the most incredible train system. You can take these amazing trains through glaciers and snow-covered mountains, and that's how you get around Switzerland is like Amtrak trains, but really much nicer trains with glass ceilings so you can see the snow-capped mountains. It's awesome, right? But all the announcements are in four languages. So when you get on the train, and if you take like an hour-long train ride, it's like, German, it's talk like, you know, German. That's a terrible German. And then it's Italian and French. And so when you hear the English, you then start listening for the other words in the other languages to try to like pick out the words that you recognize. And then by the end of the hour, you've learned a couple of words, right? But imagine your two languages was four if you were flying to Switzerland or from Switzerland and the announcements had to be in that many languages. You'd never watch the movie.
No.
Never.
No. No shot. So.
I got a Scamboni. I want to play the audio off my phone if I could find it because... now it's not here.
Oh, really?
That's weird. No, I had audio from a scam and I don't see it. Because it's a long scam. Right. Oh, I hope I didn't delete it. All right, can I tease something for next week?
Yeah,
I got bad DJ audio for next episode.
Oh yeah,
and I have some more audio from Katie Babs.
Katie Babs, everybody.
That I'm gonna play. But I want to talk about stamps for a second. This is not a commercial. I know Elvis does stamps.com. It's not that kind of commercial. I was in a post office on vacation, and I was second in line behind an older woman. When I say older, I want to say she was at least 80-something. And God bless her. Like, you know, I'm not hating on the lady.
I like how she's still using the U.S. Postal Service. She never made the switch.
I had packages. I had to have something shipped, and I couldn't do it at home. Trust me. And I had to get a change of address form.
You shipped your pants?
I was there for someone.
You ship your pants?
My pants, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I had to be in the post office for some reason. And I'm behind this woman and she says, can I get some stamps? The woman says, yeah, how many would you like? I need two booklets of stamps. What do you have?
What do you have?
So the woman, yeah, well, here's the thing. You can buy stamps or you could pick out the stamps of the month. So she says, what do you have?
How cute.
So the woman says, I have hearts. Nah, I have those. I have espresso. No. How about science? Nah. Horses. I have horses stamps with horses. And she says, no. Now I already waited online a bunch of minutes to get to be second in line. So now my leg is shaking a little bit because I want to go. I don't want to be in the post office.
Right.
Well, what else do you have? We have flowers. Oh, no, I have them already. So I'm like, if you have them, why are you buying more stamps? Because this is obviously a woman that doesn't like set up an electronic payment system.
Right.
She pays by check.
Nor does she send anything. It sounds like she's a collector. Does not sound like she's really using them at all.
No. She's whatever she's doing. So then the woman goes, I have Star Wars stamps. Oh, she goes, oh no, I don't like Star Wars. That's when I got really mad.
That'd piss you off.
So finally she settled. She goes, you know what? Just give me some forever stamps, whatever the regular is. I'll get the regular.
The regular.
So here's my question to non-80-year-old women. Who the fuck cares about what's on your stamp?
Yeah.
The whole purpose of a stamp is to put it on an envelope and mail it the fuck away from your house.
And never see it again.
You're never going to see it again. Nobody has ever called me, and you're lying if you say it happened to you, and go, oh my God, that thing you sent me, you used Yoda stamps. Oh my God, you made my day. Nobody cares. This woman was picking out how to be the perfect set. Oh, what kind of flowers are on the stamps? I don't give a shit. Get the stamps. Get the stamps. What kind of stamps? I see this a lot like 10 years ago. People would do the stamp thing. But like, have you ever gotten a letter from like, no. And it's got like a rose on it?
I don't even know. I'm just lucky. I never.
Have you ever judged somebody by the pattern of the stamp on your envelope? Who looks?
I don't even know if I have stamps. I'm just happy. I'm excited, Brody, if I have to mail something and I could find the fucking stamps that I used last time because I don't know where the hell they went. And I always lose them. So I always have to wind up going to the store and buying another book of stamps.
Well, I used to lose the stamps all the time. You used to lose them all the time. Yeah. And everybody needed a stamp. I didn't have a stamp. I had to go buy more stamps. So you have to go to the vending machine to buy the stamp. This is back in the day, right? So a number of years ago, I set up all of my mother's payment plans for digital, mm-hmm. like auto pay. Everything's digital now. She used to mail everything like this woman in the post office.
Right.
So she says, well, I don't need stamps anymore. Here, you take them in case you have to mail anything. So she gave me like a big bag full of stamps.
Right.
But so she's got 32 cent stamps when they were 32 cents. I've got 40 something cents, 42 cent stamps.
Right.
And then because when they increased the prices, this is before the forever stamps, but when they increased the price of stamps, you might have a 48 cent stamp, but now it's 55 cents.
So you have to buy the ones that make up the price. So you need two stamps, a 48 and a...
I got sleeves, you know, like whatever they call them, like pads of 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent, 4 cent, 5 cent stamps. So I mailed something, some legal documents that had to be mailed over the weekend. And I had to put like, I don't know, they told me at the post office, I said, how much do I have to put on this thing? It's a little heavier. She goes, oh, just put two stamps, which is 50, which is $1.10. So I said, well, no, like I have stamps in different denominations. How much is it? She goes, oh, let me check. And it was like 78 cents or something like that. 77 cents. So first of all, tried to scamboni me. She tried to get me to put $1.10 on the thing because she's like, oh, but just put two stamps. Well, why would I do that if it's only 78 cents, right? So I whip out the envelope of stamps and I'm putting a 32 and some five. I'm doing the math now.
You ran out of fucking room on the front of the envelope. You're just like, stamp.
I almost covered up the return address. So it's like
1 cent, 1 cent, 1 cent, 1 cent, 1 cent, 1 cent.
Well, no, I did like the fives. So I did a 32.
Like you were paying in cash 30, in different denominations of dollar bills. Dollar five, 10, here's a 20.
Right. So I pieced together the 78 cents, but I still have like sleeves and sleeves of little stamps.
Something
like
else.
Ones and fives and three, whatever.
I can't believe it.
But the lady at the post office was like, "God, just put two stamps on there. Hey, honey, it's my money."
Yeah.
Like it's my value. It's not, I didn't spend on money, but like why would I just overpay? So it's good to have those little stamps. I've got a lot of them. That's my point. I have a lot of them. So I just want to say F you, Sandy, because I'm assuming her name was Sandy, who wanted to pick out the perfect stamp.
Or Gertrude.
Literally, it was like 7 minutes of, "I don't like Star Wars. What else do you have?"
She might have been a Marilyn. I could see her being a Marilyn.
A Marilyn? So fuck you, Marilyn. But not in an old lady like fuck you way, but more like, "Come on, Marilyn." Like a come on. She's like, and then she says she bought like one book. I call it a book. She bought a book of stamps of the regular. Just give me the regular. So don't get behind Marilyn at the post office.
No.
Please don't tell me, you guys, slices, that you have to handpick your stamps.
You give a fuck about
flag stamp.
This one's
on
got balloons on it, and balloons give me anxiety.
Oh, this one's got an astronaut on it and a famous person who I like. Listen, if you collect stamps, that's fine. You can be a stamp collector. But if you're picking out stamps just to put on an envelope to pay your gas bill, you have too much time on your hands.
And so do you, David Brody, for trying to return fireworks after the I brought it full circle, okay?
Yeah. Did you try to prank call me? Was it you?
It was not me, you dick.
All
it
right.
was not, I swear. I swear.
All right.
I promise. I'd like to know who did put you up to it. One of the old guys from the neighborhood.
Hey, you know what? And don't get shitty pizza that calls itself Brooklyn!
The boys from Brooklyn!
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.